At the opening of Parshas Korach, it mentions the participation of Dasan and Aviram. And commenting on this, Rashi points out from the Medrash that even though Dasan and Aviram were from Shevet Reuven, and therefore they had no real personal interest, nothing to be gained by joining in the dispute between Korach and Moshe over the leadership and which families of Shevet Levi should really be in the leadership. They weren't even part of that Shevet. But nevertheless, due to the quirk of how the Shvatim were camped in the desert, since their Shevet was in fact encamped next to the part of the Levium, the Kohath family where Korach was from, unfortunately, they end up getting influenced by Korach and his rebellion. And as the Medrash notes poignantly, as Rashi quotes, Oil Rasha, Oil Shcheino, that Nebuch, even though really they had nothing to be gained, but because they were close to the Rasha, close to Korach, they ended up getting influenced by him and following him. This is one example or one idea of Oil Rasha, that you shouldn't live near Rasha because you could get influenced by that person. In fact, the Rambam in Hilchos Deos, Perek Vav, very famously discusses and very powerfully how this is the Teva HaAdam, this is the nature of a human being, that their Nimshach Achar, we follow after, we are influenced by our neighbors, our surroundings, our sviva, and therefore a person has to make sure to only be mischaber, to connect with, to surround themselves with good people, and not like unfortunately occurred with the hischabrus to Korach. We have to learn the lesson of Oil Rasha, Oil Shcheina. What's interesting is that later on, at the end of the story, right before the punishment as the earth opens up to swallow Korach and his people, the Torah tells us that Hashem says, V'yedaber el ha'eda lemor, tell all the other people nearby, suruna me'al ahalei ha'anashim ha'rasha'im ha'ela, move away from those tents. You don't want to go anywhere near there because you don't want to get caught up. You don't want to get destroyed with the sin that they did. They don't want to get caught up in their punishment. And this seems to be another form, another dimension of Oil Rasha. Here, the issue is not about learning from them the way we originally saw from Rashi, the way the Rambam said, they're about to be punished. There's nothing to learn from. But rather, it seems like there's another phenomenon, which is if you're too close to Rishayim, sometimes you might get punished just while they get punished. That would be a different form of Oil Rasha. And in fact, Chazal in numerous places, in the Gemara in Sukkah, the Mishnayos in the Goyim, Avos Rabbi Nasan, all speak about this, a second dimension, the idea that Oil Rasha can also take the form of, don't get too close to Rishayim because you could get punished like them. And a classic example is someone who shares a common wall, is a neighbor with someone who speaks Lashon Hara, so some forms of Lashon Hara end up getting punished with Nige Batim. There's a form of tsara'as that can afflict the house. And we know, depending on the circumstances, sometimes the wall that has the spots of tsara'as will have to be knocked down, even if it's a common wall. And therefore, if you're a neighbor, you didn't do anything wrong, you didn't speak Lashon Hara, but because your neighbor did, your wall may end up getting destroyed. That's another example, again, of this second dimension of Oil Rasha, Oil Shcheina. The Mishnah, in the beginning of Pirkei Avos, in Perek Aleph, Mishnah Zayin, tells us in the name of Nita HaRabeli, Harchek Meshachin Ra, avoid a bad neighbor, Va'al Tischaber LaRosha, and whether he's your neighbor or not, stay away from Rishayim. Maybe they seem like, on the one hand, maybe they're two different things, but basically it seems somewhat redundant. Why the need for both clauses in the phrase, in the statement of Nitan Arbaili? And the Bar Tanura basically explains exactly the point we've been making, that in fact there are two dinim, two different dimensions to this idea of Oil Rasha, Oil Shechina. On the one hand, Shelo Tilmod Mimasav, stay away from them because you might end up getting influenced and learning from their ways. But second of all, in addition to that, stay away because Shelo Tilakea Imo Bimapalaso, you don't want to get caught up when Hashem is ready to punish that person and bad things happen. If you're nearby, you could become an innocent casualty. And of course, this raises the question, why is that fair? If I didn't learn from the person, why should I get punished? And perhaps one answer that the Bar Tanura quotes from the Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer is based on a mashal. The Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer explains that just like you can't go into a tannery, a place where they're working on hides and the chemicals are very, very strong, you can't avoid, unfortunately, some of that bad smell attaching itself to you, whether you bought anything or not. But when you walk out of that store, you'll have some of that bad smell attached. So too, if you're too close to Rishayim, even if you don't learn from their ways, nevertheless, some of their bad habits and bad midos will attach to you. Even if you don't do exactly what they're doing, it still has a negative impact. That's perhaps one possibility. The Mogen Avos, the Rashbates, in his commentary to Perkei Avos, has a fascinating second explanation. He says that the reason that you're punished is because on some level you are contributing to their sins. Even though you didn't do anything wrong yourself, you didn't commit the sin, but the fact that that person was able to be your neighbor, your friend, your social companion, and faced no social stigmatization, didn't face any consequences. You kind of just, you know, made all's well, you know, you took the path of least resistance, you didn't say anything to them, they felt like they could be a good friend, they could be a neighbor, they could be a community member of good standing despite their sinning. Therefore, they were never motivated to correct their ways. Had you in some way, again, it's tricky how to do this practically, we all know, but says the Mogen Avos, if you had actually said something to them, then maybe you wouldn't be punished. But if you just act like a good friend and a good neighbor and don't do anything, then why should they try to improve themselves? Perhaps you're cut up a little bit for that reason. Let's just briefly mention a few of the practical halachic applications where, interestingly enough, this idea is expressed by poskim. So first of all, is the most obvious. Ben Yona says, Harchek Mishachein Ra, before you move into an area, it's part of a chiyuv to look to see who the neighbors are. That's number one. Number two, the Rambam in Hilchos Ishos and Perek Yud Gimel says that either husband or wife can object to the neighborhood that the other one, the spouse, wants to move to if they feel it won't be a good religious environment. Even though the husband is responsible for providing that to his wife, but his wife can object based on if she doesn't think it's the right neighborhood. But conversely, even if the wife wants to move to a certain area, the Rambam says the husband could object as well. Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva in the first volume of Yoredeya where he is asked if you can do a business with Rishayim, and in the end of the day, suffice it to say, he thinks, even though it's not obvious, but he thinks the answer is, in fact, yes. There's also a halacha brought down in Shulchan Aruch Yoredeya about not burying a tzaddik next to a rasha. That's also a very interesting application of this. And last but not least, Aruga Sabosim has a tshuva where he says you can't rent your house out to someone who's going to use part of it for business if the business will be an usher business.